sleep apnea is a condition where the upper airway, that's essentially from the nose, the back of the nose, the mouth, and near your voice box, that bit of the airway narrows, which produces snoring, because a narrowing of the airway produces turbulent airflow, and that's the sound that you would normally hear. So snoring is a good sound. It means there's air moving. However, if that any part of that airway, and it could be more than one level, completely closes, you get apnea. And by definition, an apnea is at least 10 seconds of no air movement, but it could be 15 seconds, 20, 30, 40 seconds. And eventually the brain decides, actually, your oxygen levels are going down so much, you better wake up, otherwise you might well die. And then people suddenly wake up, or their spouses or their partners hit them in the side to get them rebreathing. So that's essentially what obstructive sleep apnea is. And normal people do have obstructions, about 5 an hour. But if you have between 5 and 15 obstructions an hour, you have a mild obstructive sleep apnea. If you have between 15 and 30 episodes, it's a moderately severe obstructive sleep apnea. And people can have 30 plus, which is a severe. I've had patients with 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 episodes an hour. Well, some people do actually wake up. They will tell you, I wake up 2 or 3 times a night, sometimes in a panic. Sometimes it's a nightmare because the brain visualizes the obstruction and it thinks you may be tripping over a precipice or you're falling or drowning. So people do wake up with this. Essentially, the sleep is disrupted because there's a cycle of sleep. You're supposed to have light sleep going into deeper and deeper sleep, then rapid eye movement sleep, which is the deepest form of sleep. And the rapid eye movement sleep is where you reboot your brain so you can concentrate the following day. It lays down memory and moods. And if you have disruption of that, because instead of going into deep sleep and rapid eye movement sleep, your brain wakes you up because the moment you start going into deep sleep, you start obstructing. So you have a lot more light sleep. And what you do is you disrupt your sleep during the night, and then you try and catch up with micro sleeps or cat naps during the day. And that's usually when you're doing something boring, like a boring dinner party or reading a newspaper or watching television or maybe driving a car. Sleep is absolutely essential. We're not entirely sure exactly what it does, but if you don't have it, you know what happens. You know, if you want to torture people, you stop them getting into rapid eye movement sleep. That frazzles their brain. They lose short-term memory, their concentration, they get muddled up. And we do have patients with obstructive sleep apnea who say, I forget where I parked the car, or, as you said, where I've put the keys, or I've been asked to get something from the shops and I completely forget. So it's the short-term memory that tends to go. And clearly, if you haven't had restful sleep, then your performance during the day, work-wise, certain studies have shown, may reduce by 30%. So you're working at less than 100% efficiency. You're only working at 60, 70% efficiency. As you can imagine, this is really a strangulation. Somebody's strangling you and stopping you breathing. And so what the body does, it kicks in with the fight-flight hormone, which is adrenaline, one of the most powerful hormones we have. And adrenaline makes your heart race. It raises your blood pressure. And it pours more blood through the kidneys, so you wee more. So a lot of these people get up to go to the toilet more than once or twice, or even 3 or 4 times a night. But with adrenaline, it sensitizes the heart. And if you sensitize the heart, there is a risk of increased arrhythmias or dysrhythmias that could result in a fatality. The other thing adrenaline does, it pours sugar into your bloodstream because you need sugar to run away from whatever's strangling you, except you're not running away. And eventually you become what we call insulin intolerant, so that you can't manage your blood sugar levels. And if you're a pre-diabetic, you might become a diabetic. And if you're a diabetic, you're very difficult to control. So it has these associated comorbidities of high blood pressure, heart disease and diabetes, and some element of what we call nocturia, getting up to wee at night.